Welcome, everybody. It is nonetheless a Sunday. An hour of the truth is imminent. I think we're going to look at some scripture today, maybe Matthew 7. The services were pretty good today. Right?
Oh, praise God. We had a couple things that happened today that was pretty cool. Says now we're sounding fine.
Okay, good.
Okay. You know, we got the driveway dealt with. The guy came and helped us out and got that all straightened out and got the load spread out, and the load lasted a lot further than we thought it would. So it was definitely a praise the Lord. So we're going to be starting in Matthew 7. Paul, did you want me to start reading?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?
All right. I should have stopped you.
Okay.
Certain people want to hang on to certain things that are in the Bible. This is usually something that somebody who's feeling convicted for something, doing something they shouldn't be doing, will throw back at somebody. You know, you're awful judgmental. And that's not what this is saying here. What this is saying here is you need to make your judgments righteous judgments. That in the same manner that you judge other people, it's going to come back on you the same way. So you need to be full of mercy and grace and cognizant of the ministry that Jesus operated in.
Amen.
Because that's the way, as we were talking about John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, we ought to also walk as he walked. So that's it. We're going to bat that one around here in this chapter 7, relating to that concept. And you know, there's some basic fundamental concepts that we should be operating in here. One of them is to believe his word. Well, this is what it says. If you believe that, then you need to make choices based on that belief.
Amen.
Because any other way is denying his word.
Amen. And what you have here is his word's true regardless if you believe it or not.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's one of the things. I mean, look, you take, you know, I was referring to Noah earlier today. I mean, the flood was coming.
Yeah.
The flood was coming. And that was his word, and that's what it stood, and it happened. And you know, look, I look at this and say, you know, look, the times are shortened, and the only safe place to dwell in is in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And how do we dwell in Jesus Christ? By faith, by belief in him.
That's right.
I mean, it's like being in the boat when the flood came down, man. And then that's the place. The flood came down, regardless people believed it was going to rain or not. It still came.
Remember, it had never rained.
It had never
rained. It's going to do what? It's going to rain. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be rain this time. It's going to be fire this time.
Yeah.
You know, and the only place, safe place is going to be in is in Christ Jesus. So let's take a hold on this word and let's live it and let's be in Christ Jesus.
And go ahead.
And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?
Now, this is some of the most common affliction that he's going on here, that is in operation both in the world and in those that consider themselves in churches that are part of the body. And this is really about taking that which is true for you and imputing it to other people. that, oh, he's just doing that because he's trying to get even with me. Well, maybe he isn't. You don't know that. That would be how you operate.
Well, I think, and to be honest, I've been guilty of that many times. You're putting stuff on, you're putting stuff and motives on people that just aren't there.
Yeah.
Or not even your right to even hold against, that aren't even there. That's that beam in your own eye.
Yeah.
And how can you help out your brother if he does have that beam in his eye? You really, a lot of times you're putting something on him that's in you. But, you know, that's that beam in your own eye. Get that beam out of your own eye so you can help your brother in the furtherance of the gospel and what he needs to know. But first, that beam's got to get out your own eye.
Well, I was just trying to provoke him to love and good works, you know.
Yeah. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
There's three verses here that are committed to this. And read the whole...
Keep going.
End of verse 5.
Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye.
Same thing's wrong with you too, Bubba.
Yep. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
That's just a... You got your own problems to deal with. And this is an issue that you haven't dealt with yet. You take care of you first and worry about him after you've... This is part of working out your own salvation in fear and trembling.
Amen.
And this is part of the judgment that you put on somebody else that you can't stand in.
Amen.
This is why, you know, this word is both wisdom and truth.
Yeah, it's what talking about you swallow a camel and choke out a gnat, you know. You know, I'm thinking about when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees.
Right. Read on.
Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you.
All right, let's think about this one for a little bit. That, what we're talking about here is, well, what is holy? Well, the word of the Lord is holy. How much do we commit that which is in effort and finances and time and resources to people who we're trying to convince that we have the truth, to people that we want to see come to the truth, but who clearly cannot get it
or don't want it
I mean
how much time and effort of the Lord's do you use spending to see somebody grow that they just utterly just don't want it, and you have people out there that do want it that we're not spending any time or effort or prayer with those that do want it.
That's right.
I mean, this is what it's talking about here.
That's a failing of that we all have had it and have seen manifest around us all the time. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, the enemy can use that. And yeah, you know, your heart may be in the right place, but that's one of the reasons why, I don't know if it's in this passage and we haven't come to it yet or not, but he says that we must be as wise as serpents
and harmless as doves.
As doves. You don't want to stand in one place spinning your wheels forever and ever and ever. You want to be profitable for the one you serve, right?
Amen. Well, and you take a look. I'm looking at Acts, and you look at Paul and the apostle, and what he did is what he would go out and he'd preach the gospel. Now, not everybody wanted it. A lot of people rejected it once. A lot of people tried to kill him over it. But it was profitable for those people that did receive. And you see the fruit of that with the epistles to the churches that were set up from Paul's ministry. Now, Paul spent the time on the people that would receive. But the people that rejected him, he didn't really spend much time with them anymore. And they really just shook off the dust of his feet and went to the people that would hear.
Jesus would minister to somebody, whether he healed them or cast out devils or raised the dead or whatever. And then he picked up and he moved on.
Right.
Those who, if there was anybody else in there that could receive him, the Father had given him, then he took time with. If he didn't, he moved on. Now, some of those people followed him and were just... Some of those followers ended up walking off, and some of them ended up finally getting it. But they followed after him.
Yeah.
And he kept in motion to find the ones the Father had given him.
Amen.
And we end up wanting to justify our ministry rather than to justify his word.
Yeah.
And our ministry is nothing if we're not about proving his words true by speaking it and letting him confirm that that is his true word by meeting it with the results of having proclaimed the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
So, boy, there's a...
Can I get in there for a second?
Sure. If you have something.
Well, we started out in 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. And that is misinterpreted by so many people to say, well, you just can't even determine if I'm doing right or wrong. But even in the same passage, the caveat is, with the judgment you judge, that's the judgment you'll receive. So you
right.
need to be cautious with this. But down in verse 5, Jesus says of the hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then, after the beam's out of your own eye, then
you can see clearly.
Then you can see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. And even down here...
That will make your judgment better. The judgment by which you judge exactly what is
you will have the righteous judgment. You will have the righteous judgment of the Lord then.
Right.
Because the motive there isn't your evil motive, isn't yourself. It's that you put
will.
Off that. Now you can see clearly with Jesus' eyes. And
to
what,
profit
the
your
prophet.
Brother.
Yeah.
Which is a great point, because Jesus said, well, my judgment, Jesus said of himself, my judgment is just because I'm listening to the Father. You're getting the Father's judgment. And down here in 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. How do you know they're dogs? That's a determination you made. You're exercising judgment.
Yeah.
But it needs to be a righteous judgment. Because
that's
if
right.
you get it off, that same errant judgment that you had gets measured back to you.
Well, truly, you know, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a pearl. You know, I looked that word up, and that word is what the intent here is commit not the word to those who are unholy and can't receive it. To those who don't want it. It is an entrust. Entrust not them to be partakers. Lest, and what the end of this thing is that these people trample you under feet and turn again and rend you, just like swine, just like wild pigs. Because it is their nature, it's what they do. And they haven't been given to us by the Father.
And why do they do that naturally? Because naturally they are in the enemies, in the enemy's territory. What does the enemy seek to do?
If he
kill, steal, and destroy.
Kill, steal, and destroy.
And they're judging after their own reason.
Right.
But Brad says judging after their own reason and not godly judgment. You know, they're against the gospel of Christ, not for it. That's why they're going to, what, turn again and rend you.
That's right. Well, I'm going to move so that I can see. Wow, I went way too far.
Okay, well, Do you want me to start reading again, Paul?
Yeah, start reading again.
All right. So we're at, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Right.
That sounds like a promise there.
Sounds like what?
A promise there.
It sounds like a promise that you can only get. Remember, we have talked about receiving Jesus as a child. First off, you have to be humble. How willing are we to ask people for things? How willing are we to ask people for help? How willing are we to admit that we don't have all the answers? That our way is not the right way? How unwilling are we to ask for directions? I got it. I have this GPS. I don't need directions.
Oh, the GPS.
I'm not lost here. I know exactly where we are.
But, honey.
How do you work this GPS again?
I'm not going to ask the gas station attendant. I'd rather be lost.
That's how we are, man.
Yeah. No, I am. She married me. That was her mistake.
So, you know, if you could pray, if you come to the Lord with the humility and you ask, what does it say? It shall be given.
Amen.
Seek. And we got here is in the Greek, the intention here is ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Because the Lord wants to give this stuff to you.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And let all these other things, that's in the last chapter, that's in Matthew 6. All these things shall be added unto you.
You know what comes to my mind in that, Paul?
What?
There's the story of Jacob.
Yeah.
Man, he wrestled with Jesus.
You want this stuff bad enough, you want to get it.
His hip popped out of place. How? And kept on wrestling. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want the grace of the Lord? How bad do you want to walk as He walked? How bad do you want it?
Yeah.
That, I mean, it boils down. How bad are you willing to just lay it all down?
It's an issue of life and death for me. It's got to happen. Got to happen.
But that's the type of diligence that we need to have. You know, I was reading a little Pilgrim's Progress, and Christiana was the character, and she was knocking at the door and knocking, and then she came in, and then her friend was shut out, and she was screaming for her life, man, pounding at their door to get in. That's not how we need to be about doing the Lord's business.
Yeah.
We really do. We really do.
So, knock and keep on knocking. And in the next verse, it explains why you do the first verse, the previous verse, doesn't it?
Yes.
And why do you do that? Why do you ask?
So that you can receive.
Yeah. Why do you seek? No, because he that asks gets it.
Right.
Everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. And to him that knocketh, the door is open.
Amen.
Because it works.
Amen.
Try the Lord, see if he's not good. See if he doesn't want to be good to you.
And I remember preaching on this note. Try him. Put your faith in him.
Yeah.
Put all you got. Lay down your life. Try it.
Let him be good.
Watch what happens.
Open up those windows of heaven.
I know it's happened to me many times. I know it's happened to everybody in this room many times.
Yeah.
And then it happens what? Above we can ask or think.
Anything we can ask or think. He's better than we have a right to deserve hoping for.
Amen. You want me to continue?
That would be a good thing.
Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent?
Yeah, you know, if your daughter wants some Cheetos, you're going to give him some gravel out driveway, or are you going to give him some Cheetos?
I'm going to give him some Cheetos.
If they ask for some more meat at supper, you're going to give them some more meat at supper. You're going to give them a snake. Let the snake strike at them, and you know, you're going to be, if you being evil will give good things to your children, how much more gracious is he who we serve?
Yeah, that's the next verse. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. If you then, being
ahead of myself?
A little bit, but praise God, I love it when it happens. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So we're evil.
This is, how do you get good things from the Father?
You know, we ask.
And keep on
asking. Look, I mean, I look at, I'm evil, but I still, I'm evil, but I still know how to give good gifts to my kids. And I'm evil. This Jesus is perfect. In him is light and no darkness at all.
We come to him as children. Let him be a good father to us.
Amen.
He's a perfect one. We're not. We're evil.
Absolutely.
So, there you go. That's some more of how good the Lord is. How he seeks to want to be good to his people.
Amen.
Not complicated. Let's go. Next verse.
Therefore, all things whatsoever you do that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. How about that? That sounds like something I might have heard somewhere before.
I've read that.
And, you know, that's actually a business principle out there. That's how, you know, if you want to, when you take your car to get tires put on it, if you don't get screwed, then when you do your mechanic work on that car, you don't stiff people with the mechanic work either. You do the work that you charge them for, and just weights and measures. It's all about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. So,
you know, I mean, I kind of think about the first part of this: judge not, lest you be judged. I mean, what?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I look at it as, I mean, really, how would you want to be treated?
The world calls it karma.
Yeah, the world calls it karma, but how would you want to be treated? Treat others the same way. So I had a guy named Norm. He's the one that came and spread out the driveway. He did it as a token appreciation of how we treat him at our business. And I look at that and I say, Norm, I don't understand. I mean, you paid for your stuff. We gave you your stuff. I mean, we discounted here and there, but you're a great customer. You come to us all the time. You're good to us, and you're grateful. You don't ever give us hard time. We screwed up a couple times. We fixed it, but you've been a great customer. I don't see us being anybody but, you know, blessed by having you as a customer, and you're showing appreciation. And then I called him the other day. He's having trouble at the dealership. They're giving him a run around about a bunch of stuff, and then I'm going, I see why. I see why.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I weren't treating them right.
And just, you know, the other thing is interesting that, you know, Gail typed something in the chat. We have a tendency to justify ourselves and do an evil back to somebody who's done us evil. And that's not how that works.
Well, I think I was just reading this morning about being a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, what did Jesus do when they were crucified? It's all said, crucify them. It said, forgive them.
Yeah, if they don't know what they do.
They don't know what they do. And unless we're willing to be humbled and seeking the Lord and everything we do, how else is somebody going to know?
Right.
That's why this is called the Beatitudes. This is a way for us to be.
That's right.
Because it's about how we choose to treat others. And how we choose to think of ourselves. Do we think esteem them greater than ourselves, or are we going to be? He who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven must be the servant of how many?
All.
That's right. Right.
And what did Jesus do? He came and became the servant of all. He came around healing the sick, raising the dead, healing lepers, casting out devils, and then he was obedient unto death for us.
And doing the will of the Father.
Doing the will of the Father.
About the Father's business. Okay.
Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat.
All right. Read the next verse, too.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
All right. What we're describing here is how you enter at the narrow gate, the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Pretty clear. Many there be which go in thereat. Most people. That's the majority. Most people, that's where they're heading. And it says because the straight gate. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We're about the business of learning his ways and then doing them.
Amen.
Because we keep trying to get into that narrow way and not veer off to the left or the right. And narrow way, that's his way. That broad way is where all the lights and all the distractions are. That shiny thing that attracts our attention.
The deception of deceiving ourselves.
Yeah. And it looks good. But that's what deceptions do. They look good. They alter your good judgment. And what we're doing here is we're learning to adjust our attitudes and our judgments and our way of thinking so that we can learn his ways, so that we can stay on that narrow path and enter in that straight gate.
You know,
it says in another place, I think it may be Luke, referring to the gate of the sheep, that says that you come in at the gate, any other way, you're a thief and a robber. There's only one way to get in there.
What really hits me on up front on this is one way, Jesus,
yeah,
and his way. And I look at this, and you know, what does it say about that? We cannot be his disciple if we not forsake everything, take up our cross daily. If we don't hate not our brother, sister, father, yea, in our own life, also we cannot be his disciple. So unless we're putting him absolutely first,
unless we prefer him.
And we humble ourselves to be his disciple, you're off on that wide gate somewhere.
Yeah.
You're not in that straight gate. And don't deceive yourself. And that's, you know, part of examining yourself and saying, okay, Lord, show me what's getting in the way. Show me where I'm off. Show me where I'm not preferring you. And hang on. And follow, and when he shows it to you, it's a work in progress. When he shows it to you, lay it down. Lay it down. Because he has a better way, man. He has a better way.
There's a whole lot of people out there that will follow the deception.
Follow what?
The deception. The attraction. of the wide way.
And I tell you, it starts with thinking that you're just in the right place, man. I mean, it starts with thinking that you're just okay. Yeah. It starts with that soothingness of, oh, you don't have to worry about it. You're golden. I mean, that is just...
Well, and it goes back to the Noah thing. The Noah thing was, how many people were right before God?
Noah.
That's pretty few.
Yeah.
And the Lord was faithful and preserved him.
Amen. And the consequence, we're here.
Yeah, that's right. So, the number of times he's proved himself. If you're obedient to my word, then I take care of you. And there was no line, no receiving line of all the people that came to Noah as a result of his preaching. You know, he stood alone and brought his family with him, but he was not a mega church pastor who, you know, claimed 15,000 converts last year and was always constantly expanding his building. Because the way is narrow. It's his way and only his way. Somebody's going to say something here.
Yeah, I was just going to tag in with your permission. We're talking about, you know, the way is straight, which is tight, not straight like, not curvy, but a tight gate, like the straights of Hormuz.
It's a tight fit.
Straight
room
and narrow.
For one.
And then you said that Jesus is the only way, which is a pretty unpopular statement in America.
Oh, yeah.
And the next thing that happens, we were talking about judging ourselves earlier on at verse 5 according to our own understanding, our own carnal intellect. And what happens is we look around ourselves and say, well, I'm doing better than this guy, or I'm not as bad as that guy, or we even look in the Word, God's Word, and judge ourselves as being compliant with that Word. But I know I do a lot of audit and compliance work on my job, and very commonly the guys that have to make the fix, that are looking at all the manpower and time going in, they will judge themselves as being compliant. But you need an outside auditor, or in my case, I need a pastor, to come in and look at what I'm doing and say, hey, I'm looking at you, I'm looking at the Lord's Word, and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. We have to be willing to not only judge ourselves against the Word, but let other people judge ourselves against the Word. That's why we have Discipleship Weekly for somebody else.
Well, that's amen. That's absolutely correct. But, you know, as we have read here, this is all about him wanting to impart the good things he's got for us, to us. It's not about being able to take the opportunity to beat you about the head, although that may be fun.
And necessary.
And necessary on occasion, but not really what it's about.
Well, it...
Our raw
staff comfort me. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Let's see here.
15.
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
All right. Now, this is interesting. I mean, because there are both false prophets, and then there are those, you know, with false testimonies, and then there's no shortage of false testimonies out there, but they don't necessarily have to come from prophets. They come to you with an attractive nugget of truth, and it's shrouded with all this other stuff. And it's, you know, the question of the glass of milk, glass of poison. Suppose I mix some of this milk with the poison. You going to drink that?
No.
Suppose I mix some of this poison with the milk. You going to drink that?
No.
Well, milk is only milk when it's pure milk. If you put anything else in it is not milk anymore.
You know,
so is the truth.
Absolutely. And I look at this and, you know, I see it out there. False prophets are going to point people to either themselves or somewhere other than Christ.
Yeah.
Truth prophets is going to point people to Christ. And, you know, it says, to which come to you in sheep's clothing.
You know who the chiefest false testimony we receive, who we receive it from?
Ourselves.
Ah, that's right.
This carnal man.
Because this carnal man is lying and is in league with the enemy.
Absolutely.
This is why we started off this chapter with what?
Judge with righteous judgment.
You got to know where the information's coming from and then deal with it.
Amen. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, how many times you get out here and know, I've been fooled by this before. You know, Phil, you just do a great job. Oh, you just, man, you're so awesome. I'm so proud of you. Phil, you do a good. What does that point to? That points to me. And the carnal mind will soak it up. But you know what that is? That's that poison that Paul was talking about. Because I have nothing to boast in except what Jesus Christ has done. And it doesn't point to Christ. It points to themselves. It points to pride. It points to puffing up. But let me tell you, these guys look good. They sound good.
Agents of the enemy who comes to but to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what ravening wolves. They're hungry. They're coming after. They want to eat you.
And that will just destroy you. And it's just like a ravening wolf.
But this is why you need the righteous judgment.
Amen.
Why you need to operate with the judgment of the Lord, with the mind of Christ, with righteous judgment.
And it can go the other way, too.
Talk to me about that.
Well, I mean, what I mean by is go the other way is you're a loser. Can't do nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What makes you think that you can go out there and perform God's word?
That's true. That's a good point.
I can do all things through Christ.
I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. In Christ Jesus. So it goes the other way too, folks. Both pride.
But they both point to you.
Absolutely. A good point, Brad. They both point the wrong direction.
You know, you shall know them by their fruits. Now, the fruit of somebody who's carrying the truth of God in his testimony and doing the word of the Lord, the fruit is
love.
Right. Now, do you gather grapes, thorns, or figs, thistles? You get each fruit after its own kind. And good trees bring forth good fruit, and corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. So in this case, what is evil fruit?
This case, what is evil fruit? I would say anything that points other than Christ Jesus. That's
unbelief,
pride.
You know, pride, and that natural tendency to say within ourselves, "I can be like God, knowing good and evil." You know, that idolatry. That is the first commandment. That's the first commandment. If you can't get past the first commandment, I mean, that's what the rich guy, that rich ruler that Jesus was talking to in Mark. He says, "Look, how can I get eternal life?" And he says, "Well, you know the law." And he says, "Well, yeah, but I've done that since my youth."
One thing thou lackest, sell everything that you have and come and follow me.
He had made money and property his idol. He had wealth, and that wealth was what he trusted in, not the Lord.
And he couldn't be the Lord's disciple. Followed that wide way, that wide gate.
right? And he had to prefer Jesus
over all that.
Over all the rest of that stuff. Man, what do we do with the tree that brings forth bad fruit?
Cut it off.
Right. As this is what we're talking about in John 15, about abiding in the vine. What happens to the branch that's not fruitful?
They're cut off.
And burned.
Yep.
That sounds like a scary operation, a process I don't want to be a part of.
Me neither. So our other option is to be abiding in the vine.
Yeah. Bring forth good fruit.
Amen.
And you know, those trees, they know which direction the light comes from, too, don't they?
Yep.
That's right.
Well, there you go.
The mustard seed knows.
That's right, mustard tree.
I'll start at 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
We hadn't read those yet?
No.
See how I am?
Well, praise God. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
All right. Now, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. Why is it we need to know all about these fruits and judging with righteous judgment? And not putting evil motives and intentions on people that aren't there necessarily, that just part of how our makeup is. Why is it that we need to be able to minister to other people and remove the thing that's blinding them or irritating them or knocking them off the narrow path? Why is all this stuff important?
Why is it that
one way, that narrow way, that singular way, it's so important. It's so important because verse 21.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Interesting. So that broad way where, you know, we got, you see all these big numbers, and surely they have something right?
No.
Well,
but it says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Really?
One way. One will.
that's unfair. He thinks, he's saying here that you can know the will of the Father.
Amen.
But, and that's my point. Of course, I'm being
right
sarcastic. But that's the whole point. That's where we started, Judge, with righteous judgment. Learn the ways of the Lord. Learn His ways. Learn that this path for you is one person wide. And when you get to that gate, you might have to get sideways to get through it, if you want to get through it.
Or lay all that garbage just around you.
Yeah, that's right. So, verse 22.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity.
All right. So, these people, they're going to have a testimony. They're going to be giving out the same testimony they've been handing out all along. And the testimony is going to be, Lord, Lord, you know, haven't we prophesied in thy name? And we went and visited people in the hospitals, and we fed the hungry, and we contributed to the homeless shelter, and we did all these things. And we cast out devils, and done many wonderful works. Done many wonderful works.
Well, look, you know, let's take a look at that testimony, though. Look what we have done.
Yeah.
Not, Lord, it's because what you have done for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
And you can see in that response,
he did not challenge whether or not they had done those works or not. Not the issue. The issue was, who's being glorified? Who was that? Who's that? Was I trying to attract attention to myself, or was I trying to please the Lord?
Yeah, because iniquity is pride.
Because of pride. That's right.
That's right.
Verse 24.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And we keep going or stop?
All right, we can stop there. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man. My mind runs back to beginning of fear of the Lord's beginning of wisdom, and that light that went off when I saw the connection in James chapter 1. You know, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That the trying of your faith worketh patience. Your faith not tried. You don't know whether you got it or not. And you don't see your need for that faith. And then it goes directly into ask the Lord for wisdom. If you don't fear the Lord, you can't operate in His wisdom. You can't see His purposes. You can't know His mind. You can't receive of Him. And He is so good.
Amen.
In His provision.
And I also look at this. The winds came. The floods came.
We haven't gotten there yet now.
Sorry.
If you're going where I think you're going.
Well, I mean,
go ahead and go there. We'll let you.
Well, there's a couple points. One was talking about how every man's work's going to be tried with fire, and some of those others. Yeah. But that, you know, even if he suffered loss of all these things, he's still there. I mean, you know, the point of, look, if these things aren't founded on Jesus Christ, they will dissipate. But the opportunity that we have for them to dissipate now is, praise God, counting all joy when you fall into divers stations. So you start building that foundation upon Jesus, or upon the rock.
Yeah,
that's all. He'll liken us into that rock. That's what will stand through the floods. But the floods and the winds are coming regardless.
We hadn't gotten there yet. The floods are coming to the ones that did it right and the ones who didn't do it right.
Right.
Scott typed in there that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of the Lord. It's Luke 16:15. He says, that's why the wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many is it that will enter in there. Most people will enter in there because we're impressed by the wrong things. That's absolutely the truth. So the rains came and the floods and the winds, and that house fell not because it was founded upon a rock, right?
Yep.
And then the next verse.
And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it.
Yeah, you know why great was the fall of it? We had all of this expectation about what was going to happen. And all of our dreams, all of our expectations, the foundation was
not
mush.
Yeah.
So the nut of this deal is you either do his word, you hear his word and do it, and your foundation's strong and it's based on the rock and truth of his word.
Amen.
Or you hear them and decide, man, I can pick and choose these things. I'm pretty good at this. Take my chances. Then what happens?
It falls.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm thinking about other things on this note as well. Is that if you're in this lifetime and that stuff falls all about all around you, falls down to the ground, that's a perfect place to receive Jesus and that true rock.
And then let him rebuild.
And let him rebuild.
Your life in his image.
And we see that. That's what the testimony of the Lord brings. Is that new foundation. That sure way of life.
That's right.
Not on all this other worldly wisdom and garbage that's taught out there that man put so much bank in. But on Jesus. And you see many testimonies of people coming to the Lord. Steve's a big one of them that, you know, he was... All he ever thought, he just found all of a sudden was wrong. But one thing he did find was the true nugget. And that's how good the Lord is.
Yeah. I've spent many years being distressed greatly by Matthew 7:21-22. And it took me a long time to see that I was discounting the miraculous work of the Lord in my life because of the way all these other people failed to measure up to his standards. Boom, that's their problem. That's not the Lord's problem. The Lord didn't do that.
Yeah.
The fact that they're missing him, that's their problem. That the Lord is still sure, his word is still true, and if I will obey it, he will and agree with him that it is both true and righteous, and his judgment is perfect. And that the person that's ministering that to me speaks the truth and testifies of that only which the Lord has given him, then when I finally receive that and choose to walk it out, then he can open up to me all of his goodness.
Amen.
And it's the same for you, and it's the same for Brad, and it's the same for everybody that's listening here online, and anybody that might listen to this later. He's good to us.
Amen.
And last two verses here in chapter 7.
And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he had taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes.
He had the package.
Amen.
He had the goods.
Amen.
He had the word that the Lord the Father had imparted to him to give, and that's all he gave testimony of.
Amen.
And he could speak it with the authority that he was given.
Amen.
And he could speak it like he knew it, because he did.
Amen.
And you know, all these arguers, describing the Pharisees, arguing law and points and all this stuff, and comparing each other's performance to the and none of that buys you anything from God at all. None of it.
No.
None of it. It might get you something in the esteem of other men, but other men, there's no other man, there's no other way. They're not gonna save you. They might be people you like, but they're on judgment day, their testimony is not going to save you. Not going to save you. The only thing that's going to stand is, what did you do about Jesus?
Amen.
What did you do about Jesus?
So we got, I don't know, a minute or two here. Anybody else have anything to say?
No, that wraps it up for me.
All right, well, we're in Matthew 7 today. Don't know where we'll be next week, but, you know, Lord willing, we'll be here. And we thank y'all for listening. I'm going to give it to the music to get us out of here. Let's do this. God bless y'all. Thank y'all for listening. Scott Stevens is up next with the Jesus Fact.